This morning I continue in the series I've been preaching, Let's Go to the Lord. If we think back on some of the past messages we shared on the idea, let's go to the Lord, His house, and rejoice and praise the Lord together in the facilities that are available. And this morning here we are, we're gathered in the house of the Lord as the bodies of believers, and we rejoice and praise God for who He is. We talked about let's go to the Lord and who built our house? Who's in our house? You know, in the passage I read, David asked the question. He said, when will you come to me? When will you be in my presence? You know, we can have the presence of the Lord in our house, where we live, where we reside all the time. Therefore, He dwells within us when we have invited Him in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Last time I shared was 2 weeks ago, was the idea of handling life with prayer. Communication with God, the idea that we keep the lines open in our relationship with the Lord is an important thing. And prayer isn't just a matter of changing the circumstances around us. Prayer is a way in which God changes us. Even in the sense we talked about the idea, sometimes God gives us the answer to our prayer as no, for He knows better than we know ourselves of what we need and what brings honor and glory to Him.
Yeah.
This morning in Let's Go to the Lord series, it's Let's Go to the Lord for Life. For life. What is life? Life is an existence. It's the fact that we can exercise and function, and there's a certain amount of mobility we have as persons, and it's that span that we have between birth and death. If we go out here and walk into the cemetery, there are a number of stones out there, and they have a beginning, and they have again and an end, and that's the span of life that person lived here on this earth. So we know life as that. You know, we think of the things that we face in life and the decisions that we have to make, and sometimes some of the things that we face in life don't seem so pleasant, but I think there's a way in which we need to be thankful for even some of the things that aren't so pleasant. And so I have a list of some things here that I'm going to tell you I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I pay taxes. Why? Because it means I'm employed. If I wasn't employed, I wouldn't have to pay any income tax, would I? I'm thankful for the clothes that fit just a little bit too snug sometimes. Why? That means I had enough to eat. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing and the windows that need cleaning and the gutter that needs fixing. Why? Because it means I have a home, a place to live. I'm thankful for the spot that I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I am capable of walking to the front door. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, which will probably be bigger this year because it means I am warm. And I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about government. Well, maybe sometimes I'm even part of the complaint. And I have to remind myself I shouldn't be. I should be the one, as Shane mentioned, praying for our government, praying for our leaders, praying for those who are certainly misled and misguided. I'm thankful that I can hear about the complaints of the government because it means we have the freedom of speech. We're free to speak. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off-key because it means I can hear. And she's making a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I'm not speaking literally this morning. Is that? Marge was up front. It couldn't have been her. Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm thankful for that pile of laundry and ironing because it means I'm not going to have to do it. No. Because it means my loved ones are nearby. You know, if there's laundry, it means it's because there's other people that live there. I'm not by myself. I'm thankful that the alarm goes off early in the morning because it means I'm alive. If I wasn't alive, I wouldn't hear the alarm, would I? You know, all of those things, and we think about it, have you ever complained about any of those things? Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe the aspect of being thankful for them is a better attitude to have. You know, that's just a challenge. I mean, each one of us certainly have complained about things or of life that sometimes seem to be struggles or the routine, and we as such human nature has such a negative impact on us when we should be thinking about the blessings that we have and that we share because of that. We know life is living and breathing. We know there are struggles. We know there's joy. We know that there's pain. We know that there's happiness. We know that there's sickness and illness that we face. But we also know as followers that there is peace in Jesus Christ. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, we know that we have the peace. We know the hope of the future glory that we have. We know that life eternal is through Jesus Christ, just as the signs we see all through the county and down at the end of the road. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. It's Jesus Christ, eternal life. That's life eternal. And there are many people who don't know life eternal. A minister parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because he was short on time and couldn't find a space with a meter. You know, that's actually been me before in New York City. Couldn't find a place to park until I parked near a fire hydrant. And that lasted most of the day. But I eventually did get a ticket. So he put a note on his windshield, and this wasn't me. I have circled the block 100 times, and if I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. And he wrote on that note, forgive us our trespasses. When he returned, he found a citation from a police officer along with this note. It says, I've circled this block for 10 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation, he wrote. So which one was right? Which one was right? You know, when we think about the idea of some of those things, they're here or there, but what about our perception of life? Let's go to the Lord for life, for our day in and our day out routine. And yes, there are right and wrongs, and there's times that we make bad decisions and probably don't choose the best decision. But then when I refer back to Psalms 101 and the Psalm of David, and in verse 1 he begins by saying, I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord, your love and your justice. Now that's something about God. He is a loving God, but he is also a just God, that there's right and wrong. He loves us, every one of us. But he's also a God of justice, and we can expect that if we don't obey him, that there are consequences to suffer for it. It says also, it says, I will sing praise to you, God. I will sing praise to you, God. And here's David. He was a king. He was the king of Israel. He was a mighty man. He was in a mighty position, given much authority. But I like verse 2 when he says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. A blameless life. Boy, now that's a pretty tall statement to make. He says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? In other words, when will you be in my presence?
I don't know.
I want you to be in my presence. I want to live a blameless life. It says, I will walk in my house with blameless hearts. Ooh. Behind closed doors in the privacy of his own home where no one else sees or judges. He says, then I will be blameless. I will walk in my house with a blameless heart, even in private, not just in public, not just the way he rules, but in his own household. Now, we know the life of David, and we know that he had some struggles in his life and that he was guilty of sin. And he had to own the responsibility for those sins. And he didn't do that until the prophet pointed it out directly to him and said, you're the man. You're the man. You know, sometimes in life when we go to God for life, and let's go to the Lord for life, and we have to ask that question, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Is there anything that I'm guilty of, Lord, you pointed out, because I can't see it? And sometimes he says to us, you're the man. You're the man. You're guilty. But praise God, there is forgiveness. How do we live a blameless life? Now, David makes that claim. He says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. You know, that was a commitment that he made to the Lord in this psalm when he sang praises to the Lord for his love and for his justice. Recognize that he's a loving God, but he's also a God of justice. You know, we live in a culture and society where we go, oh, God loves you. He loves you. He provides salvation, his son. He loves you. All you got to do is love. What about the justice part of it? There's a justice part of it, too. It says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. And he recognizes that God is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. In other words, he needs to live a life that matches up to that which he claims to be, that God loves. There's also a justice that he has to meet as well in order to live a blameless life. A God of love and justice. How do we live a blameless life? A life without guilt, without faults, and no deserved punishment coming to us. How are we going to do that? You know, David says, I will walk in my house with a blameless heart, even behind closed doors. But he also makes the statement, Lord, when will you come to me? When will your presence be here? You know, that's something that without the presence of God, without the power of his Holy Spirit, it's hard for us to consistently make choices that honor God, that share his love, and carry no accountability because we do what's right in his eyes. But three things I want to look at this morning in this message that will help us live a blameless life when we're talking about let's go to the Lord for life and let's live a blameless life, just as David made the proclamation. And the first thing we look at this morning is to focus on the Lord. And we see that David, in the beginning of this chapter, certainly was going to. It says, I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. He also makes the claim that, Lord, he says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. And it says, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. And the deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. The idea, he says, that I'm going to focus on the Lord and sing praises to God for who he is, the sovereign God. I will honor the Lord with my attention and focus. Our attention and focus. What are the things that we dwell on? What are the things that run through our mind consistently day after day? I know that sometimes it's important to remain focused on what you're doing if you have a job or an occupation. And when you're on the job, you can't lose focus. You can't lose focus, or you're not going to be very effective in what you're undertaking. You're not going to be 100%. You know, think of driving a truck, and particularly the ones I'm familiar with is a feed truck, the one that is particularly top heavy. When you're loaded, you are top heavy. If you drop off the shoulder of the road and there's the least amount of dip, if you drop off of there with a load, with the trailer, you're going to wreck. It's going to pull you over. If you get into that ditch with the rear wheels of the trailer, you better stop. You better stop now. Because if you keep going, the further you go, the deeper it's going to drag that trailer into the ditch. And as it drags into the ditch, the top goes over and over. And the next thing, you reach a point of gravity where gravity pulls it and wham. The trailer is in the ditch, and the tractor goes wham. When I worked there, I saw two drivers killed that way. Why? Because they evidently lost focus and got off the road or were running too fast into a curve. I've seen numerous other accidents that happened that way in which the drivers walked away. And a couple of those instances, the way that the cab was destroyed, you can't hardly believe that they walked away. The Lord provided for them and protected them. We need to focus on what we're doing, and if we truly, if that's our desire to walk and to lead a blameless life, we have to be focused on the Lord, the truth of His Word, and what it says. We have to watch the ways of the faithful that went before us as examples. And you know, so often I think back of those who have gone before us, those who were members here at this congregation, because I've been here my whole life. And I can think back to some of the persons who sat in these pews years ago who were Sunday school teachers and who were involved in teaching and ministry of this congregation and the lives of faithfulness that they lived throughout their entire life, even when their physical abilities in their last years waned and they couldn't see and they couldn't hear and they weren't mobile, yet they remained faithful to the Lord. To me, that's a witness and a real inspiration as I move forward in life. That they were faithful and they walked as much as they could blameless in the sight of God through their whole life. Oh, how wonderful it would be for someone to have that kind of testimony about us someday. That we walked a blameless life and chose to be blameless in the eyes of God the way in which we lived. So when it came to life, we went to the Lord. We allowed the Lord to lead us and guide us and direct us. A long time ago, a preacher was visiting a couple's new home in the country, and the preacher spent the night there. He was awakened the next morning by a soft voice of a soprano singing, "Nearer, My God, to Thee," and he was impressed by the young woman since she evidently began her day by singing to the Lord. At breakfast, he spoke to her about it and told her how pleased he was. "Oh," she replied, "that's the hymn that I boil eggs to. 3 verses for soft and 5 for hard." Doesn't matter why you're singing to the Lord. But if we're singing to the Lord, even as a timer, that's fine too. But we're praising the Lord. Anytime you sing and praise the Lord, it's a good time. I find myself a lot of time singing or humming along a tune in my mind of praise to the Lord. And you know, that's only possible when we have focused and when we have learned those songs, whether it's a hymn or whether it's a praise chorus or whatever the case may be. Until we have focused and have that ingrained in our minds and hearts, it'll not happen that way. It depends on what we have focused on, what we have spent time in learning and understanding and comprehended that is automatically brought to our minds. Ephesians 5:19 and 20. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime you sing to the Lord and praise Him, it's beautiful music. Even if it's not on tune, even if it's not on key. Maybe you don't have a good singing voice, but if you're singing and praising to the Lord and devotion to Him, it's a joyful noise to Him. Even if it's not perfect. And I know there are some persons who are trained in music, and my daughter was one of them, Tara, that she was musically trained and went to NYU and studied vocal performance, and she got to the point she could not stand music that wasn't sound. It's just something that was in there. Now she got over that at this point because her children sing songs that aren't certainly on key or on pitch, but it's a joyful noise. Interesting how that is. You know, as we move through life on one course or another, I think we need to focus on the Lord. We need to be focused on the Lord. And we can do that in more ways than just singing. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the ways of the sinner, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's talking about the word of the Lord, the scriptures that we have in our possession. We have the freedom to have a Bible in our hands, in our households, and have numerous translations. And so we have that available to us, that we can focus on studying the Word of God. And there are many persons that talk about the value of the Bible and Scriptures, but yet they spend little, if any, time reading it, and even less meditating upon the Word of God. You know, the best way to really study Scripture is have the responsibility to teach a class or a Bible study or something like that where it forces you to study. And you learn how to study the Word of God. You learn how to meditate upon it. And over the years, I've spent many a time, I'll find myself reading something and the next thing you know, scribbling down some ideas. And that, you know, I might do that sometime. And you know how it is, after so many years that it doesn't take long for me to take a scripture and begin to make an outline because it's something I've done all my life. Now, there are some times when Satan himself interferes and my brain just goes blank and I just can't get it down on paper. And you know what you have to do? You just have to go back and start reading it and read it over and read it over. And sometimes I've had to read the same passage time and time and time again until finally the light gets flipped on and the Spirit of God moves. That's the way it is in life. Each and every day we talk about focusing on the Lord. That means knowing who He is, knowing His Word. And in those times when Satan would blind us by his thoughts and temptations, may I call upon the Spirit of God and the switch comes on. Remember, His Word says this. And to be obedient to Him. Let us focus on the Lord. Let's study His Word. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and let's read it and let's study it. Let's focus on it. Let's spend the time in it, because otherwise it will not happen. Focusing on the Lord, singing His praises to the Lord, studying His Word. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, mine and yours. The Word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts, and that's what we need to measure it by, the Word of God, not the popularity round about us and what is so prevalent in our culture and society today. An African woman was asked if she enjoyed reading her new Bible when she received it, and she replied, "Sir, I'm not reading this book. This book is reading me." God's Word does that. It should do that. When we read His Word, it should be telling us who we are or who we need to be. It's not a matter of us just reading it, comprehending it. There are a lot of people that read their Bibles to try to make it say what they think it should say. But it's the other way around. We should be reading the Word of God so that it makes us the Word of God, who we should be, not who we think we should be, but who God wants us to be. How can a young man keep his way pure in Psalms 119? By living according to the Word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's when we have the Word of the Lord in our hearts. It then is recalled to our minds and will keep us walking in the straight and narrow and in a blameless way in the eyes of God. The Word of God. Arnold Palmer, who was a golfer, a famous golfer for many years, passed on now. He talks about one time in 1961, he was in the final round, the final hole of U.S. Open, and he had a significant lead. And as he hit his tee shot off the tee, it went up the fairway. It was a beautiful tee shot just right at the edge of the fairway. And as he walked up, someone from the crowd shouted to him, "Hey, Arnold, hey, Arnold." And he walked over to see who it was and began shaking the hands of people. And then he walked back over to the ball. And he knew then, he says, "I knew then I lost it," because his focus and concentration was gone. And his next shot showed it. His next shot showed it because he was not focused. You know, the thing in life is true. Our lives will show whether we're focused on God or not. You and I, doesn't make any difference who we are. Whatever our minds and hearts are focused on, it will shine through in the lives that we live, whether we're living lives of faithfulness or blamelessness in the eyes of God or not. The second thing is have nothing to do with evil. In verse 3, David says, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of the faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me." And in verse 8 it says, "Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. And I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord." Here David the king, he talks about the idea. He says, perverse hearts and men would be far from him. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. He says, "I have nothing to do with evil." That should be true for us. So we have nothing to do with evil. Every morning, it says in verse 8, he says, "Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land." So as a king and as a ruler, he had the power and authority to govern and to rule over the people. And evil was not going to have a place in his kingdom, in his realm. And he says, "I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord." I don't know. We have a commitment like that to the Lord, that with all our power and with all our might, I'll set before my eyes no vile thing, anything that's perverse in the eyes of God. Only holiness and blameless will I be a part of. So I don't want to be in the presence of the wicked, anyone under my watch. A unique experiment was done some time ago in the University of Alberta. 20 chickens were exposed to 24 hours a day for 2.5 months of television. After that time, they became blind, staggered, and wandered about in a daze. The professor, Gene Luber, a professor of zoology at the university, found that chickens, when exposed to continuous TV, develop blindness.
Yeah, but I mean, he's...
And it does even more than that. It's not just a matter of developing blindness because of being in the light and in the vision. You know, one of the things is a security against sin is the shock of sin. The shock of it, that we can't believe someone would do that. And yet, we look at our culture and society and what's on television, what used to be R-rated or X-rated movies in the theater are now prevalent on the TV programs day in and day out. We live in a time when we wonder why do kids get such bad ideas when we see so much on regular network TV. It's no wonder kids have bad ideas and do the bad things today, because it's all glorified on TV as normal. Drinking, drugs, sex, all the gay lifestyles, the shootings and the killings, the hatred and the violence, even on our national news programs. The majority of everything is talking about hate and violence and how this political party says this political party is evil. And the other one says, no, their ideas are evil and perverse. And yet the reality of them is, I don't think any of them is good idea, because they're all anti-Christian in many cases. And it's just so frustrating sometimes that when we see that it's not just television, it's the access that we have on the internet, on our computers, and even our cell phones. Now, granted, there are some values and advantages that we have to the instant communication that we can on our phones or computers. It's been wonderful for Bonita and I, as our grandchildren in Seattle grow up, that we can see them on FaceTime and communicate and see our faces. And there's times that Bonita and Tara will be on the FaceTime for hours a day, just watching the children play and do things and communicate. Interesting, when I was in Chicago the other Tuesday morning, I got a text from Tara, and when I opened it up, here were two grandchildren, 5 and 3, singing me happy birthday, looking forward to me getting there later that day. You know, things like that you wouldn't experience otherwise, and those are wonderful. But we have to be focused on using those types of things that honor glory and that glorify God and not self and not the ways of the world, to walk in a life of blamelessness, having nothing to do with evil, but only honoring God in those things. Here's certainly an illustration that talks about the idea of the influence that something can have on us, and it's called the 23rd channel. The TV is my shepherd, my spiritual growth shall want. It maketh me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake, because it requireth all my leisure times. It keeps me from doing any Christian duty, because it presenteth so many good shows that I must see. It restoreth my knowledge of the things of the world and keepeth me from studying God's word. It leadeth me in the paths of failing to attend church and being useless in the kingdom of God. Yes, though I live to be 100, I shall keep viewing my TV as long as it will work, for it is my closest companion. It presenteth entertainment before me and keepeth me from doing important things with my family, and it fills my head with ideas which differ from those of the Word of God. That's not just the TV, that's the Internet, that's all of the things that we can focus on besides the Word of God.
Oh, I don't set my TV.
But certainly television has certainly been a big one.
And it's something to family or something, I just go do it.
I will set before my eyes no vile thing, David says in his confession to God. How about us? I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. Do we recognize the deeds of men in the way of the world, and do we hate them? Men of a perverse heart shall be far from me. Perverse heart is certainly the opposite of a holy heart and a blameless heart. I will have nothing to do with evil. It's what we see and who we run from that corrupts our minds and hearts. You know, if we see the ways of the world, and if we don't run from it, then our hearts are going to be corrupted. It doesn't make any difference who you are. That's true for all of us. It's what we focus on, what we see in our minds and hearts, what we read, that can corrupt our hearts in the ways of the world. If we want to stay as blameless as possible in the sight of God, we must avoid evil, have nothing to do with evil, and that is defined in God's word, what is evil and what is pleasing to Him. And that's where we have to find the definition of what evil is and stay far from it. And the last thing, even though I know we're out of time, cast away pride. Cast away pride. If we want to live a blameless life, we need to focus on the Lord. We have to have nothing to do with evil. And we have to cast away pride. David, who was a king and certainly had a position, he says, whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not endure. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house, and no one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. In a comic strip one day, Peanuts, Linus is talking things over with Charlie Brown, and he explains to him, when I get big, I'm going to be a humble little country doctor. Well, now that's a pretty good aspiration to help those in the country. He says, I'll live in the city, though, and see, every morning I'll get up and climb into my sports car and zoom into the country, and then I'll start treating people And I'll bring healing to everybody for miles around. And then at the last frame, he winds up, says, and I'll be world famous, humble little country doctor. I don't know if you can be world famous and humble at the same time, can you? They seem to be two contradictory things. I want to tell you something. And over the years, I've watched some sports and enjoy, but as time goes on, I can watch less and less because of the attitudes of people that lack humility. You know, I so often think back, I can remember back years ago as a younger man, remember when Muhammad Ali was a boxer and his claim was, I'm the greatest in the world. I'm the greatest in the world. And that was his self-claim. And he was a good boxer. Was heavyweight champion for many years. But you know, he succumbed to Parkinson's disease and became such a frail, hollow man that took his life. That finally the disease took his life. He was not the greatest in the world anymore. He might have been the greatest boxer heavyweight champion at one time for a season, but it didn't last. That was pride speaking. That was pride speaking. Now one man said he owns his success for learning from his rooster. That rooster was a powerful fighter. He could fly high and cut deeper than any other rooster in the neighborhood, but he often lost fights to weaker roosters because right in the middle of the fight he would stop to crow when he was ahead. And then he would lose the fight. You know, when we think about the idea, there's some truth to that. Pride comes before the fall. Here's the rooster that was a strong rooster, but yeah, when he stopped to crow about himself, all of a sudden he wasn't quite so strong anymore. You know, sometimes people are just sold on themselves. And we all know people like that and know everything, done everything, and you know, you can't hardly even talk to them. But you know, sometimes we can make some pretty proud statements ourselves. I can handle life. I can handle situations that I face. And sometimes we're quick in responding to someone. I know what I'm doing. I've done it before. Sometimes we speak before we really think what that sounds like. That's our human nature. That's our human nature. There's one thing I've learned in life, that I'm not a real vocal outspoken person anyway, but I don't respond quickly to anything, even if it's criticism, for I have to take a moment and think about it, and not just think about how I want to respond or how God would have me respond, but what does it sound like to other people? And you can't make that determination in an instant. And there's been so many times in the past that I spoke too quick, put my foot in my mouth, and then it's difficult to dig it out. And sometimes you can't dig it out. I think we need to be better listeners than we are speakers. I need to be a better listener of hearing the Lord and hearing one another as we share together than I need to be a preacher. Now, granted, we need to be able to speak, and the Lord gives us His Spirit and message to share. But I need to be a better listener to God and to my brothers and sisters in the Lord, the encouragement and the prayers. I need to be a better listener. God's listening. He does way more listening than speaking. He reveals His truth to us when we're listening. But if we're not good listeners, we're not going to hear the Lord. And I think it's important for us to be good listeners. And that means we need to cast away pride. That we need to be humble. We need to be able to be still and quiet. My wife will tell you I'm one of the antsiest people sitting around the house you ever see. I just can't sit there very long. And sometimes we even get antsy in church and are ready to go home. But we need to listen. Because the Lord's trying to speak. And we really think about it, it was pride that changed the angels into Satan and the demons of the deep. It was pride. The subtlety of pride You know, we recognize it in a boastful way, but we recognize that we too can be guilty of having a proud heart of who we are and what we've accomplished. The song Amazing Grace has the right attitude, and John Newton, who wrote the song, says, "When I get to heaven, I will see three wonders there. The first wonder will be to see the many people there whom I did not expect to see. The second wonder will be to miss the people that I expected to see there. And the third and greatest of all will be to find myself there. I was lost, but now I'm fine. Was blind, but now I see, because it is the grace of God that saved me and saved you. And will not receive that grace unless we humble ourselves and cast away the pride of our human nature and heart." So, to live a life of blamelessness, let's go to the Lord for life. And let's focus on the Lord for life. Let's have nothing to do with evil in our lives, and let's cast away pride so that we may see the Lord face to face. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the challenge this morning that we would come to you in life and to dwell with you forever and ever through the visions you have made available to us. Just now, we thank you for your word and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a song?
430 in the Green Book. 430.